Greetings. On behalf of the St. John's United Methodist Church family, I want you to get ready to have life spoken into you. These messages that you're going to hear by audio or video are carefully crafted that they might feed your faith and starve your doubts. We pray that God will make you stronger and will prepare you for the destiny that He's called you to live into, not only in the week to come, but in the rest of your life through how God speaks to us through His text and through these servants. We treat it with precious honor that we are gifted and given the opportunity to feed your faith. And so now, get ready, receive, and know that God has a word for you.
The scripture today is from Ruth, chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. And I'm reading from the Common English Bible. But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to abandon you, to turn back from following you. Wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord do this to me, and more so, even if death separates me from you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Dear friends, thanks to those who were in my stead in the preaching moment over the last several weeks. My grace abounds in heart for you, and thanks to you for your work. What great words I heard via internet from those of you who shared, and my deep thanks. And to those of you who sent cards thanking God for the time I've had to renew, but at the same time, the time of my return, thank you. I will be sending you words in the near days and weeks to come. Would you pray with me? God, oh, now this is your hour and your time, so here is the abounding prayer of this, your servant. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thine sight, for you are our strength and our redeemer. It is in your name we pray. God's people said, amen. An appropriate moment before I begin. This weekend celebrates the 241st anniversary of our birth as a country. And so those who have given us the grace and the power to be among this place called the United States get to celebrate the July 4th season. And so what I want to do now is ask those of you who have served in whatever capacity in our military services to stand that we might acknowledge you and thank you for your service as we stand as a free nation even now. If there are those in this place who do that, we would like to stand and thank you for your service of duty. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. It is because of you we are a country that is free. The text has been read so ably, and I simply want to ask you to hear this one version, this one verse that is heartfelt for me. 1 and 16 says this. But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to abandon you, to turn back from following after you. Wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." We begin a new series today entitled Blessed. This series, out of the mouth of Ruth, is poignant and prolific for the season of these days that we face. We'll begin today by talking about what it means to be blessed while burdened. Next week, we'll follow that with blessed when bent over. Ruth 2, for those of you who want to study ahead. Part 3 on the 16th will be blessed bountifully. Blessed bountifully. That's Ruth 3. And then on the 23rd, I'll move forward to talk about what it means to be blessed with a Boaz. There's a series on Boaz coming soon, but I want to get into that a little bit. And then on the 30th, we'll complete our journey in this series with the phrase, blessed beyond boundaries. Blessed beyond boundaries. Blessed means a state or a being or a stature of a person's countenance that says that they understand how favored they have been. But current days always don't dictate to us that we feel that way. In the work, The Word in Life Study Bible, the commentator writes this as he begins his work around Ruth, quote, "If you ever feel that you are living in dark times, the story of Ruth can help provide a ray of hope. It stands as an important afterword to the book of Judges. The book of Ruth tells how God used an unknown widow from a foreign nation to produce a king for his people. Against the backdrop of Judges, Ruth's faith shines like a point of light in spiritual darkness of error. He goes on to say, in reading Ruth's story, you can take up hope from the fact that no matter how terrible times may be, God has always had his people and God is always carrying out God's purposes. Burdens will make you wonder what God's purposes really are sometimes. Sometimes carrying that responsibility of walking through not only great days, but days of grief will make you wonder, does God's purpose really make sense for me? Is it really something I can wrap my head around? Is this something I can take on and really claim that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good? The answer before I go any further is an unqualified yes. But Ruth, like no other person in the 66 canons of the text, teaches us that to learn how to live with this is the lesson of maturity. And so, as we understand this text that is written in 1010 BC, right after the period of Judges, which is that period right before David becomes king, which gives us the opportunity to see that just because there is legality and litigiousness does not always mean there is levity and there is release for people. In fact, what we discover is in the book of Judges, the more litigious nature we become, the more constraint God's people are. It's kind of a weird kind of reality. But the reality is this book happens right after the period of those series of judges that tries to set rule and order in the land. And Ruth, who comes from another land, in fact, she is a Moabite woman, comes to the place where she aligns herself with Naomi. Naomi is this wonderful figure in the text who is married to Elimelech. Elimelech is one of those former kings and judges of the land. And what we know historically about the text is Naomi marries well, lives well, and serves well in that city called Moab. She has two sons. She gets two daughter-in-laws, one whose name is Orpah. Now, here's the key. Depending on the theologian you use, this text either happens in a series of a couple of weeks or 3 days. Imagine, if you will, for those of you who have read the text, if you'll allow yourself just to consider the theologians of contemporary time, that in a matter of 3 days, if this is true, if it is true, or even in the matter of a couple of weeks, you go from having a great life with your children and your husband and all of the needs met of your land to, in a matter of days, however many days they are, you lose your husband, you lose both of your children, and you are left homeless at the behest of a society that is grieving not only one of their leaders, but is grieving one of their forefathers. And as a result, you got to take care of your daughters-in-law. It is the reason why Naomi's name before the beginning of time was given to her, which means bitter. She has something to be bitter about. She's lost almost everything. She's lost almost everything. But here's a good place to preach right now.
Verse 1, it says, in the land of Judges, dot, 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 Naomi is in the land of Moab. Moab means mercy. The one who is bitter finds herself in the place where she lives in the land of mercy, which is the acknowledgement that God is with her. I want to say something to you. I don't know what your status is, whether you're having the best day or the best season of your life or the most difficult season in your life. I want to say something to you. God reminds us in this compulsive moment of God's text that this is the truth we live in. And as a result, he says to Ruth and Naomi and to anybody else who wants to listen, hear this. I'm not going anywhere. God wants us to know that God, whether it's the best day or the most difficult day, is not going anywhere. And the reason why is because there's always mercy in the moment if we're willing to look at it, regardless of the stance. So, verse 1. Oh, by the way, it's been a few weeks since I preached. I got 41 different points. I'm going to make all of them today. I'm kidding. I only make 20 today, and I'll finish. No, I'm just kidding. I've got four that I want to offer you. But there really are 41 different places I could put my hat on today in these 17 verses. I'm just going to give you four, okay? So we'll skip to verse 16, where Ruth, who is the child, the daughter-in-law of Naomi, who says, leave me, don't make me serve you. And by the way, don't make your life more difficult by trying to serve me. Just go and have your life. Orpah, who says, yeah, that's a good deal. Let me go. I'm out of here. Ruth makes a different countenance, and she makes this declaration. That's one of the theological terms we use in the text. A declaration means a biblical stance or position based on my faith. She says, I'm not going anywhere either because God didn't leave you. I'm not leaving. She says, where you go, I'll go. Where you die, I'll die, et cetera, and so forth. And here's what I want to leave you with as I turn a corner on this text and really make my points to you, and then we'll get into it fully next week. Is that even though she is burdened with grieving her own husband, even though she's grieved with having to live in a land that is not hers, even though Ruth's position has gone from being someone who would have been a queen in her own land to being a pauper in this current land, she realizes through the grace of the humility of her heart that she is blessed. And as being blessed, she realizes it even while she is burdened with life. If there's anything I've been reminded of in the last several weeks, it is this, is that even while you may be burdened with something that will call your attention to live in the maturity of your days, never let the moment take away your realization that God has blessed you. As a result, Ruth teaches us 41, but I'm going to give you four things today that I think will help your life and help mine and help all of ours as we go forward. First, being blessed means that you own a bullhorn to use in your life. Strange phrase, but just follow me real quick. The points are not there. I didn't give them to the tech team this week. I was still taking my time. So just follow me. I'll post them later. Being blessed means that you have a bullhorn that you have to use in your life. What's a bullhorn? Notice verse 1 or verse 16. She says to Naomi, without even Naomi asking her to respond, she says, I'm going to be with you. Your God's going to be my God. Where you go, I'm going to go. Where you die, I'm going to die. Where you live, I'm going to live. She makes this declaration to Naomi without even asking for it. Here's my point to you. She uses the bullhorn of her faith not to get caught up in the burdens of the moment, but rather to proclaim the best blessed state of her life. She regards her moment, even in the grief of it, as a good moment, even when she has some things she has to grieve about. She regards herself in the state of her living as being blessed, rather than look at the things that are going on in her life and says that's the wholeness of her life. She uses the bullhorn. What's the bullhorn? Her mouth to sign and indicate that there is something that is bigger than her grief worth living for. Worth living for. Friends, 241 years, and the country that we live in, while it has interesting days, is still the best country in the world. We got a lot to be thankful for. And if you look through your lives, I guarantee you there is more to be thankful for and more to realize that you are a blessed people than you are people who live perpetually in a state of being burdened. The best scripture I can give you to model this is 118:24 in the psalmist's words. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will, declaration, rejoice and be glad in it. That's what Ruth says. I'm gonna be happy. I'm going to be joyful. I'm going to live in this state of being renewed by God's grace, of being blessed rather than being burdened. Point two. Being blessed means you live with borders. You live with borders. Not the kind of borders that we've talking about in current society. I don't mean those kind of borders. What I mean is the border, that sign or somewhere that some things that we might encroach on are not worth investigating. Naomi wants to say to her, just separate from me. Just get away from me. I'm trouble for you. In fact, Naomi almost indicates to Orpah and Ruth that her life has been so difficult that she's like not wanting them to follow in her lineage. So she says, get away from me, because where I go, trouble is always. Ruth says, stop it. That's a good word for some of us. Whenever we get to the place where we start counting the burdens that we're sharing, somewhere in our Holy Ghost mind, the Spirit of the Lord needs to say to us, stop it. Stop counting everything as bad and difficult. Just stop. It doesn't mean that there aren't difficulties. It doesn't mean that you don't have to deal with adult things. It doesn't mean that you don't have to deal with them. But what it does mean is that you don't have to live every 24 hours of every 24 minutes of every 24 seconds of every 24 whatever of your being always counting the burdens. Ruth has lost her husband, her father, and her land in a matter of 3 days or a couple of weeks, and she's still focused in on the fact that there's a future. What borders do for us when we set up those limitations of counting our burdens, what borders do for us is it gives us the ability to look at what Jesus says to us. Hebrews 12 and 1, look to Jesus, fix your eyes on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before us. You get my point? Set a border on your burdens and let your blessed life help you to see with new vision. Dr. Hudson said this to me when I first came. He saw me squinting and looking crazy. He said, you know, at some point you're going to need new glasses. I got news for you. I bought new glasses this week. I'm getting older. And while I'm grateful for older life, I don't like it. But I'm having to adjust my vision to what's ahead of me. Let me ask you a question. What's ahead of you? Are you willing to ask God to reveal to you what's ahead of you? Ruth, in the midst of her grieving moment, still was looking ahead of her, fixing her eyes to Jesus. Even Jesus, who was on his way to the cross, fixed his eyes towards heaven. Friends, fix your eyes. Young people, the summer is going to end at some point. Please, Lord, let it end in my house. It's got to end at some point. I can't take another YouTube video or another. I can't do it. I just, you know, between the music and everything else, I'm just going crazy. That's why I've read more books in the last 3 months than I've read in the last 3 years, just because I can't take the sensory perception anymore. It's just too much. But whatever it is, look ahead. Look ahead. Number three, being blessed means that you live in best practice or best practices. Ever read the text all the way through, Ruth? I encourage you to do it. It would only take you about 15 minutes. Four chapters. It's very easy. Unless you really are one of those people that every word gets you caught up and then you'll be there for 18 days. But if you just read it through as a commentary, what you'll notice is Ruth never becomes arrogant. She forever lives in this posture of humility. Even when she goes to Boaz and asks for him to be betrothed to her or betrothed to him, depending on your terms. Whatever her state is, she's always in the place of humility. It's the best practice for her. We all have best practices. For some of us, it's the discipline of getting up early and working out. I've been working out some. I haven't worked out in a couple weeks the way I should. I'm going to get back on it, although I've lost a little weight. I'm going to lose some more. Whatever that practice is, for me, it's the practice of how I prepare for sermon preaching. For you, it may be something else. But whatever that practice is, that's your best practice. Live in it. Embrace it. Because just like you have a natural practice in your life, there's a spiritual practice that follows that. And your spiritual practice helps us succeed in ways that our normal sustenance or our normal sustaining process does not. Jorge Acevedo, who writes this book, The Grace-Filled Life, one of the books I've been reading, he says this. He says that it has been the practice of being a praying purpose when I didn't know how to deal with my pain that has gotten me through the most painful times of my life, end quote. Whatever your best practice is, let God expose it in your life in such a way that you go from being burdened to being blessed because you see more grace than you see grief. Got a final note for you that I want to offer you. Here it is. Being blessed means that there is a beginning. I'll say it again so you get this, because this is the most difficult part of living with burdens. Being blessed means that there is a beginning. Naomi declares to Orpah and Ruth that the journey is over. She attempts to put a period on her journey. And Ruth takes her eraser out and says that's simply a comma. Ruth rejects Naomi's end and offers a beginning. I've been reading Hebrews this summer. And just as I said to you in Hebrews 12:1, he says, fix your eyes on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of faith. Hebrews 11 says something even more profound. Hebrews 11:1-2, listen to what it says. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hear this, the evidence, the ousia in the Greek, the substance of things hoped for. Ruth hopes for a beginning because she has seen the days of past where even when there was a burden, there was a blessing. I'm going to offer you just 30 seconds here before we move to a place of closure and end our service to do this for yourself. What's possible for you after today? Isaiah 45 says this, just if you need some help. Greater things than these shall you do. Your best days are ahead of you. But you have to claim the state of being blessed over the process of being burdened and be like Ruth and say, just as God said to Naomi, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying right here with you, God. And we'll see what the end will be. Pray with me. God of grace and power, we begin this journey of claiming ourselves as people who are blessed, not because we don't have trouble and difficulty at times, but because we will triumph over difficulty through the blood of the Lamb. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who modeled this for us as we saw him in Golgotha and on the cross, and even pass the cross to the empty tomb. And as we now mark his life, as we follow him, we claim that same ability to live not only as people who are blessed, but who live in the promise of your blessings. And we go forward this day to begin the journey of claiming just who we are. And we say this in the strong name of Christ our Lord. God's people said, amen.